Hi, I'm Matthew Viriapa, KOSU intern. I did an interview with Ryan Hendricks of Color Music earlier this year. Color Music's latest album, Swimsuit, marks a return for the band, who, after a hiatus, have played a string of live performances this year. They'll be playing a show this Friday at Tower Theater with Broncho and Dear People. Here's my interview with Ryan Hendricks of Color Music.
My name is Ryan Hendricks, and do you mean to state the name of the band?
Yeah.
Color. I'm in Color Music. Band is technically from Stillwater, although now we have members in Oklahoma City, so we're kind of... I still live in Stillwater, but the drummer, Nick Lay, lives in Oklahoma City.
It's been kind of a while, and before that, your production schedule was like an album maybe once every year, every 2 years.
No, it was always about 3 years. So, first album came out 2008, and that was called F Monday Orange February Venus Lunatic 1 or 13. And the label we were on disappeared, and then we put out My Blank Is Pink in 2011, and then May Your Marriage came out 2014. So we're on a kind of a 3 year cycle before then. And with this record, we actually released it in a way the summer of 2018. It was done in 2017. Well, maybe at the beginning of 2018, I may have been fussing with some things. Well, I remember trying to get the artwork all figured out. So we kind of still in the same cycle. It's just that we released this one ourselves, and so we were just kind of like figuring out some weird ways to put it out.
Yeah, you guys did like this kind of limited release where you contacted fans to listen to it first.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of motivated that?
To be punks a little bit, you know, to punk the system. The music industry is something that I have a tendency to feel kind of an antagonistic, feeling towards. Because I guess I get torn between the artist and then you think, oh, you know, it would be, you know, what's a good marketing way of approaching that? And I think that for our band, almost every decision we've ever made is a really bad marketing decision. There was a moment in this period between Mary Mary Rich and Swimsuit where I was like, should we just start over and come up with a better band name? Truthfully, I'm really proud of our catalog. I think we have I'm proud of the songs that we put out. And I feel like if we changed our name and stuff, we'd be kind of killing that to some extent, and I don't want to do that. So we stayed with the name Color Music, and we've decided, well, let's just go ahead and commit to making more bad marketing decisions for the future. That will be what we'll be known for.
So what was like the early response to just amongst the fans, I guess?
Really good, actually. I mean, I think people were excited to know that we're still alive. Our drummer plays with the Flaming Lips, so that was one of those things where it was kind of like, can we continue and then he still stay in this Flaming Lips? I mean, that's just like an opportunity you just can't really pass up if you're a musician. And that was a little bit of an attention there for us, not so much for me, because we toured a lot before, like when we did our first tour. We did a lot of touring, and I was kind of tired of it because I like touring. It's just I don't. At some point, after a while, it just becomes mechanical. You know, it's not really like you're not really there anymore. You're just like kind of playing shows and then thinking about the next thing you have to do. I had this epiphany probably, I don't know, after we did our album called My Blank Is Pink, where I realized that as a live performer, like when you play live and you have a really good show, you just get really high. Like you just feel so good. And I realized, it's like, you know, I can't get more high. Like I can't play a show. I mean, yeah, I can play a show with more people and I can play a show that pays us more money, but I'm never going to feel better than this. So I feel like I've peaked as far as like what the experience is as a live performer. So whenever Nick started playing with the Lips, I was like, it doesn't really affect me. It just means I have more time to write songs, which is actually what I love doing. The lip thing was funny because I had a premonition about that. I actually had a moment where I was running. I was like, I can see Wayne wanting to work with Nick sometime because Nick is, you know, such a good drummer. He's a good rock drummer. I didn't realize it was going to happen like a month later, which is what happened. So it's kind of, I laughed about it. Nick called me and he was like, man, this is going to happen. And I was like, I'm happy for you, dude. I think it's great. So at that point, it was kind of like, I wanted to write songs, so what's going to happen with these songs, and what am I going to do it with? And it was much more about just getting deeper and deeper into the art of what I was doing. And I was trying to ask questions about how to make your art more meaningful. You know, like, if you're a musician who writes music and you don't have an audience, like, you're writing not for an audience, you're not writing for any of those, like, exterior reasons, what would you write? And so that's what Swimsuit was kind of out of. And I was also, I lost a friend. He died. He got cancer while I was working on it. Maybe a year after I started, he was like, "Hey, I have kidney cancer," and so I had family members passed away. It was just a really heavy moment for me. That just left its imprint on the record. You know, there are relationships in our lives that are going to get torn apart by death or by illness, and there's nothing to stop that. It's going to happen. And I kind of thought, well, can I write a record that's like a Band-Aid for me so that when this stuff happens, I can listen to this to kind of help me deal with it? And that's what Swimsuit is, actually, is a record. It's actually a record just for me, and it's a Band-Aid for when that stuff happens.
So you've talked about, like, your love for, like, the album format. So at the beginning, are you mainly thinking about, like, I guess, I want to make an album like this, or does it come first from, like, a song place, like, I'm writing these songs about this, it kind of forms the album later?
In a weird way, I've been on this one concept that has been kind of being explored, and so when I approach a song, I kind of think about it from, like, you know, let's hit it from this side, let's hit it from this perspective. I'm not a lyricist who tries to tell a story in a real clear way. I don't tell stories. It's much more fragmentation. It's much more of a dream reality, at least my dream reality, where it's sort of like there's a message there, there's a meaning, but it's very kind of unclear. And so that's how I approach songwriting. In terms of sound, I think of the sound that way. You know, this is like how this is the picture I'm trying to create, and so I need something that kind of feels like this. I need something that feels like this, and it's a change in the concept. So, like, My Blank is Pink is a record about how sex kind of controls our lives. So, like, you know, you're a young person, college, you know, one of the things that you do in college to express your freedom is to go out and hook up with people. But in a way, you're still controlled by your subconscious, because it's like the way to express your freedom is to go out and hook up. And then when you hook up and you have babies and stuff, then that thing right there is your responsibility for the rest of your life. The album May You Marry Rich was an album about, well, let's just imagine you were someone who could have anything you wanted, right? What would make you happy? What would be the happiest thing that you could become? You know, the first record's about how there's this sort of idea of independence, but it's really being controlled by subconscious forces. And then just imagine that you had the power to be, you know, make yourself happy in any possible way that you can. The surface things, like, you know, like, oh, I can buy stuff, or I can hook up with as many people as I want. Those things over time erode their satisfaction. They're just not something that really makes you that happy. And this record is very existential. I've become, to be honest, the whole process of writing records has turned me into an Epicurean. I'm just like totally like, that whole idea of like being, to be happy, you actually end up wanting as little and little and little as possible. If you can be happy with just a little bit, then that's like progress. And so Swimsuit is also kind of exploring happiness in its most simplified form. And so, like, there's kind of two things going on in Swimsuit that are themes that I'm exploring. One is, like, thinking about, we have a song called Luxury on there. And so the lyrics, like, on that are, the only prize is to keep us alive. I'm just talking about my wife, my relationship with her, that the only thing that's really a luxury is that we manage to keep our relationship going, you know, that we're alive together.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what these concepts of records have turned me into, is like the sort of guy exploring these existential themes about what it is that I think really matters. And at the same time, I've also been thinking about like erotic moments that were really powerful. Like, and that when you say erotic, it gets all kind of, are you talking about sex? I'm actually talking about like the first moment you hold someone's hand and how you can get this kind of buzz, this kind of charge, this kind of like really powerful experience from just really mild things that happen in your youth. And that those are the things that kind of have really stayed with me. So all these albums are kind of connected in a way.
Are there any other songs, I guess, that explore different aspects of that?
Well, I mean, like the song Swimsuit, it's really about, it's kind of like the end is coming, so I just want to focus on beauty. You know, that's kind of what those lyrics are about, if anybody can understand. That's what I'm talking about in terms of lyrics for that particular song. Song Every Day Say It. I love the lyrics for it because it's really ambiguous, but it's like Every Day Say It. Say what? Every day say it. What is the thing that drives you? What is your motto? What is the thing that pushes you forward?
What is that it for that for
right,
you?
Exactly. Every day say it. Say what? I don't know. it's also kind of a play on us. Like, we're not a huge band, but like the things that we did that were ever really successful were kind of like considered like motivational songs. Like, we have a song called Yes and our song You For Leaving Me. These are all kind of like anthemic songs. So there's an element of a play there, because people don't know, like, Yes is actually, there's an element of the song Yes that's kind of really ironic, which is this line, says, I'm gonna love the machine. Which is about, you know, like, I'm going to participate in this reality and no matter what. And Everyday Say It is also kind of playing with that irony of like, well, what is your motto that moves you forward?
So since we talked about like your newest stuff, I kind of want to ask about like your earlier stuff, because the inspiration for it was very interesting to me when I read about it, like on your Wikipedia page, about like you had like this idea about making albums based off of colors.
We still do. We still totally do that. Synesthesia, you know, the idea where you hear color or see colors when you hear sounds, is a very subjective state. And I never had it in the way that other people have it. But as I've done this, I think I do have it now, because I do, when I hear music, I feel a real strong sense of color from the sound of it. But people who have it, they all kind of experience it in different ways. And so we still do it. I just don't publicize it in quite the same way, because I think it's a little cheesy, you know, but it's true.
Could you mention briefly what do you think swimsuit is?
Water, you know, and the blue of water and the motion of water and the eroticism of water. So it's, I guess I'm talking more about water as blue, you know, and ocean blue. And I mean, if you saw me, when I write music, I watch like TV shows and stuff, and it's just like I had the Blue Planet on all the time, you know. And there's a movie that nobody liked called Knight of Cups that came out that had Christian Bale in it, and just really kind of fit the feel of the record that I was doing. So I remember, like, we have a British member in our band, and he didn't play with us as much because he lives in London and he works and stuff, but which is why we're called Color Music. You know, people always make fun of us. They're like, well, aren't you from Oklahoma? It's like, well, yeah, but we had a British guy in our band, so we can use the U in our name. But he'd always give me a hard time, because, like, I'd see the ocean. I'd be like, man, the ocean's just so erotic. And he'd be like, what are you talking about? So anyway, it's just wired in my brain that way.
Yeah, that was an aspect of the new album that I wanted to talk about. Like, you said that it's very purposeful and like, trying to mimic water.
Mm-hmm.
Could you explain a little bit more about what you
mean
there?
I mean, like, you got noise, right? So like, you go and you're around ocean. I guess, you know, I say water, like, I think of the ocean and like how much noisy it is, and using noise. Like, if you listen to a record, one of the things that I do to kind of like set up expectation for the next part of a song is you'll hear noise come on really subtly, and then it kind of creates a sort of unnerving effect, and so that when the next part hits, it kind of releases it. I also like the swells, you know, that was something that's kind of, I feel like, is something I'm really interested in as a songwriter, is how you can, like, a sound can be undulating and just be like, you know, that kind of stuff, which just makes me think of ocean waves, right? But that definitely something I thought about a lot in that record, and I'm not done with it, because I want to keep exploring the concept of using water and sounds. I have this like ambient thing I've been working on that it's very much like I want to do a whole thing about water. So even more aggressively.
Could you point to a song where, I guess, some of those sounds?
So just the first song is a really good example. So the first song, it begins with that kind of vocal loop, okay? And that vocal loop is sort of undulating. And underneath it is a noise. Okay, just to me, when I hear it, I immediately, you know, you're at a swimming pool and the light hits the swimming pool, and then up against a wall, there's that refracting light, you know? That's exactly what I see. When I hear that sound, I just see that refracting light, and then you have that undulating vocal thing that's on top of it, that's just sort of like floating there. So that would be a really good example of the water. Now, when the song becomes song, right, then it becomes structured and you have certain things. So it doesn't necessarily, it's not like I'm like making sure that every single moment is like an example of water, because I'm going into the song. But those elements are kind of inspiring it.
what you're describing like makes me think of like your album cover. You had a New York artist, I think, make that.
She's actually from Minnesota, but she lives in New York now. Her name's Samantha French. Yeah, she's an amazing painter. And I didn't think that she'd ever license it, let us use her artwork, but she was really cool about it. And that painting, I think, kind of reflects the feeling of the record, you know, where it's like, is the person dead? I don't know.
And I've heard you describe the like kind of atmosphere that you've been going for is like 90s R&B.
Yeah, that's like, true. Yeah.
Swimming pool party, I guess.
Yeah,
right?
That's exactly right. Yeah. So that's all nostalgic too to me. And so I would say that our band is kind of like we get a lot of classifications, but kind of like imagine a noise rock band working with the sounds of R&B music of the 90s. So, you know, I mean, I'm thinking of like bands like Escape Club, Color Me Bad. You know, those were the sounds of pool parties for me when I was a kid. That's what we would listen to. And I thought, you know, wouldn't it be cool to take noise rock and bring it in with that and sort of merge those two elements together? Wouldn't that be interesting? And that's kind of what, that was the musical kind of musical goal to pull off. And I mean, I didn't do it on every song, but some songs I thought, it's working. That works. It's a good example of it. So,
So you're teaching at ACM now, and yeah. I'm sure you're seeing like a lot of those like people in those same phases of their life where it's like they're just starting new bands, new projects. What kind of advice do you try and give them?
Well, a lot of stuff. Like I would say that one is that, you know, it needs to be fun, but you've got to really try to make something that you're really proud of. And I try to center them on what's really important, you know, because it's so ultra competitive. It's just unbelievably competitive right now that being successful in any meaningful way is always a hard thing to pull off. So focus on the things that matter. And I think if your goal is to just be commercially successful, then you have the wrong assumptions, you know, because I myself don't care if some stranger wants to be commercially successful in music, right? I myself want them to make something that makes me feel something. So just trying to orient some of the bad ideas that are kind of floating around in the world right now into ideas that really matter for like listeners or some of the things I think about. We also spend a lot of time trying to protect them from, there's a lot of like bottom feeders, people who try to take advantage, you know. But I think really, you know, in the end, it's trying to help students create something they're proud of and then just make them feel ready as artists or even if they go on the business side to take a step forward. And it's really kind of a crazy fun program. I mean, I have a blast doing it.
Where do you think the direction of Oklahoma music is going right now?
Well, that's a tough question because Oklahoma's always really been a fertile music scene. And what happens is a lot of people who of talent move, you know, and then they'll do something successful somewhere else, and they won't necessarily claim their Oklahoma roots, even though they're still Oklahoma artists. Oklahoma has a great folk culture, and that is something that matters. That's a tough question. I don't know. It's really up to where people are at, you know. I think EDM is going to grow. I think hip hop in Oklahoma is going to grow. I think the music's going to become a little weirder and a little more dynamic. But I think that, like, this is the place to watch for new artists because there's just so many unbelievably talented people here. It's kind of crazy. I would just wish that more people would go see them, you know, and that's the real question is how can we get more Okies to go out to watch them play? That's the challenge, is figuring that out.
Well, amongst, like, the students at ACM, are there any trends of, like, oh, wow, this year there's a lot of ska bands.
Not ska, although I have one student who's in a ska band, which is cool. I don't see that. I mean, EDM is pretty big, and there's a lot of EDM bands there. I don't see trends at ACM. I see students going, this is what I write, and how do I get this to the next phase? And it really is unbelievably diverse. There's no one repeating thing at all, you know, and I would say at least with like the people that I work with, we're not trying to put students in any boxes at all. It's definitely like, you know, what are you doing, and like how do we grow this, how we nurture this and move this forward. That is definitely, I would say, kind of an ethos that I see over and over again.
I'm curious, like, before Colors Music, what did you think you were doing, like, after college?
Oh, yeah. So I had an epiphany. The reason I say this is because I was an exchange student for a semester. I went to England, and I took a class called Computer Music, which is a class where you make weird sounds. And it was the only class I've ever taken like that. And when I was sort of set free into the classroom to do this, I spent 16 hours a day in there. I'd stay up all night drinking coffee. I was in England. I should have been out traveling around. I loved it. And I realized this is what I like to do. You know, this is the only kind of work that I ever felt a real passion for. And so when I got back from there, I was like, I'm going to get a loan. I'm going to buy a Pro Tools system. I'm going to start making music. And that's what I did. And, you know, the happiest day for me is to go to the recording studio and work on music. I mean, I'm an idiot. I'm a simpleton in every way. It's just like, I love it. I'm the same way. I'm still a simpleton. I mean, going out playing shows are fun and stuff, but what I really like to do is to have a day to just work on music. So I knew I wanted to do that. Fell into all the jobs that I've had. And I fell into through the music. So I went after the thing I loved, and it opened up those doors to it. And I'm not a rich person, but I'm a very happy person.
Is that the kind of career advice you'd give your students? Just like, if you want to do music, just do music, and life, it will guide you, I guess. Life will find a way.
I mean, the only thing I'd say is that sometimes it's a good idea to plan B it, so that you have a plan B that will allow you to do it. You have to stick with it. I mean, the Flaming Lips were a band for 12 or 15 years before they even got signed to Warner Brothers. 12 or 15 years. That's a long time, you know, to be doing this. And Wayne Coyne was very happy to be working at Long John Silver's, you know. He was doing that and then making music. And so musicians, the calling that we have is a weird calling. And so you have to kind of figure out a plan B that allows you to keep doing what you're doing. And maybe the world of music will feed you, maybe it won't, you know, and you just have to learn to, you know, adjust that. And that, of course, is not like what you want to hear when you go to school, but, you know, what are we living our life for, right? I mean, are you living your life because you want to have a secure job and to do it that way? Cool. But a lot of us are living our life because we want to have a great experience, you know, and we want to feel like our life meant something. And so that's what kind of music's call is to kind of give us that experience.
Again, Color Music is playing a show this Friday, July 12th at Tower Theater with Broncho and Dear People. For more information, go to towertheaterokc.com.